Luke chapter number 9, and began to study on this. I kind of came to it in a roundabout way, and couldn't get away from it, and just decided I'd go ahead and study on it. And the Lord's given me something that I never saw before in the Scriptures. Yeah, everybody, was Luke chapter number 9. Let's all stand. Verse number 57. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. Bible says, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's very familiar scripture tonight. But you'll notice the last man there in verse number 61 says, another said also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home, at my house. And what he said is, I want to go home before I follow you. And Jesus met that with a very negative on that. He says that you're running more after the things of home than you're willing to follow me. And so he met that. Now, notice what he says, which are at home at my house. Someone said one time that you can never go home, but that's really not a biblical principle. I found out three times in the Bible, the phrase go home is used in the Bible. I want to preach on that tonight, on go home. There is a right way to go home. Amen. It wasn't the way this man was doing it. And that's the reason he was rebuked for it. But there is a right way to go home. And I want to give you the three passages tonight and preach on that you can go home right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all the things you've done for us tonight already. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in the preaching hour and open our hearts and mind, Lord. I pray that things that might drift in our mind that are, Lord, not needed for this hour and for this time, may we set those things aside and bring them before you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in those things. Those things we need to concentrate on right now, Lord, I pray you'd help us to concentrate on, that we might give that needs to be had, and that we might receive that you need us to bring in our hearts, that our lives might be changed. Help us tonight to understand this scripture. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Three times and three times only is the phrase go home used. I want to look at it with me tonight. The first one is found in the book of Judges. And we're just going to walk forward through the scriptures tonight. We'll just end up starting the Old Testament, end up New Testament. And many of y'all that have been around here know that's typically the way I go. That's the way the Lord's laid on my heart to go. And I want you to follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, pick up a pew Bible, read along with me, and just stay in here with me. Look at it with me. Judges chapter number 19. I've preached on this many times over in this passage, several times over in this passage. Not that it's a favorite passage, just has a lot of light in this passage. Bible says in verse, well, let me give you a little bit of background about this. Man has a concubine. We know that in the Bible, the name concubine is used as a servant, sometimes as a second wife, and sometimes the word is used as the first wife. And it doesn't mean in negativity in that way. It's just used as translated concubine there. And so that's the situation with this man, because he is her husband. It is said that he is that way. Well, she's become unfaithful, and he's going to get her. Now look at it with me. The Bible says in Judges 19, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, and there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah." And the Bible says in verse number 2, so we see there's no leadership. There was no king in Israel, no one to go to about things, no leadership. And there you have light at the very beginning of this chapter. You find out there's a problem with leadership. Okay, stay with that thought. There's a problem with leadership. God's introducing this chapter, telling us that there was no one in authority. Okay? And whenever a person has a problem with leadership, they're going to have a problem in their life. Now, you can count on it. Stay with me. The Bible says in verse 2, "And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose." Notice that it says he is her husband. "And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. She brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him." He rejoiced to meet him. And so we see not only a circumstance of leadership, but we see a circumstance of love. The Bible says that he went after her. And she must have greeted him pretty well, because when he got there, first thing she does is she brings him into her father's house. When the father has him there, he's glad he's there. Amen. I never will forget that sort of a joke, lighthearted joke, but someone said that the daughter called home one night and was on the phone and giving the mother a hard time, trying to answer thing. The mother and dad was in the house, and the mother is trying to deal with her on the phone. And finally, the father said, "Let me have the phone." And he said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she had a big fight with her husband. And she said, "Daddy, I want to come home." And he said, "You are home." Click. Amen. I mean, listen, it ought to be right in the marriage. It ought not interfere. If there's not physical abuse and things like that, you ought to let marriage work. You ought to let marriage work itself out. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. You ought to let it go that way. I don't want to stick our noses in places you get it bit off. Amen. And so, you know, he dealt with it, and there they are, and the father-in-law is glad to see him. Now look at verse 4. "And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so they did eat and drink and lodged there." Now we see a subject of leadership, and we see a subject of love, and then we're going to see the subject of lodging in verse number 4, "and lodged there." Look at verse number 7. "When the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him again, therefore he lodged there again." Look down at verse number 11. "And when they were at Jabus, the day was far spent, and the servant said to his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn in this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And of course his master said to him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger." Look at verse number 13. "And he said unto his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah." Look at verse number 20. "And the old man said, peace be with thee, howsoever, let all thou wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street." Now I'm going to fill a little bit in tonight and not try to read all these scriptures. I want to just fill in a little bit what's happening. What's happening is he stayed there with his father-in-law, and he's been there, he's shown his wife his love, and he's went there getting her, and he's taking her back home. And when he gets ready to leave, his father-in-law says, stay with us a little longer, and you don't have to be in a hurry, and he has him lodge with him. And after a little bit later, he gets ready to leave, and he has him lodge with him. And then finally, in the afternoon, it gets past noon, he's the next day, and he's getting ready to leave. He said, no, stay with us, lodge, and then get up in the morning and leave. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on. And so they leave the father-in-law's house, and they start off down their way. And as they go, the night begins to draw a little closer, and his servant there with him said, hey, let's turn in here. It's getting down towards the end of the day here. Let's turn in here and lodge and be safe for the night. He said, no, we're not going to stay in no stranger's house. We're going to go on into the people I know and the people I know around here. We're going to their land, and we're going to lodge there. And when he went into that town, nobody would take him in. And finally, he finds an older man who is sojourning also, but lives in the area, and he allows him to come in his house and lodge, because he said, it's not good for you to lodge in the street. Well, during that night, while he's there, the sodomites come out of the town. And they beat on the doors of the house and said, who you got in there? Sounds a lot like Lot had to go through. Who you got in there? We want you to let these men out that we may know them. And that talks about a physical knowing them, as they're sodomites. And this old man says, hey, I don't do something so wickedly. Said, here, you can take my daughter and you can have her. And they said, they don't do that. And so he takes that concubine who that man, his wife, he'd went after her, and gives her to them. and they abuse her all the night long. The Bible then says, look at verse number 9, and we'll back up now. We see a problem of leadership. We see a subject of love. We see a subject of lodging. Look at verse number 9. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. And tomorrow, listen, get you up early on your way. Watch this statement. That thou mayest go home. Now, the father-in-law is not telling him to stay there forever. Here's what he's telling him. You stay here tonight, it's too close to dark. You stay here that you might keep your life in a merry state. And when it's time to go, you get up early in the morning, you rise up early, and you head out that you might make it home before it gets dark. That's what he's trying to tell him. You understand? He said, you need to go home in the light. One thing we need to understand tonight, the Bible says in verse number 10, but the man would not tarry. And because of that, his wife, who he loved, who he went after, was abused and lost. And it was all because he wouldn't take advice from anybody. See, what we have here is a positive that ends up in a negative because he refuses to take the advice to go home in the light. Here's what I'm saying, church. When we are on this way, it is not impossible to take advice, to take the good advice, to go home in the light. We're not children of darkness. We're children of the light. Amen? And we ought to live in the light, and we ought to walk in the light, and we ought to travel in the light. Now, I'm not just talking about physical light. I'm talking about every path in our way. We ought to try to make sure that every step we take is in the light. Because we can have some really good purposes in our life, and we can have some really great love in our life, but traveling in the dark will never get you home the way you ought to get home. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? What I'm saying is this. We ought to make sure to go home in the light. We ought to make sure that we're in the light in our footsteps. That we're not just doing what we think's right, but we can take the advice, we can take the advice of somebody that's telling us, go home in the light. Boy, I have a lot of people sometimes, oh, well, I never thought it'd get that bad. I never thought it'd get that dark. I never thought that what I was doing was going to cause any problem. But a lot of times our problem is you have somebody that's trying to tell you, don't go home in the dark. Go home in the light. Make sure your steps are in the light. So number one tonight, simple thought. If we're going to go home, we need to go home in the light. Amen. We need to make sure we're walking in the light of the Word of God. We're being led by the Spirit. We're in the light. Because you're outside of light, you're going to run into problems. Amen? Amen. I mean, if I hang around darkness, I'm liable to get hurt. That makes sense? All right, now watch this. Turn over the book of 2 Chronicles 9. 2 Chronicles. At first point, I feel like I need to stand on top of the church and holler. I wish I could make that one strong enough. I don't think I did that in justice. There's dangers of walking in the dark. There's dangers of hanging around dark things. It's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? It's dangerous. It causes problems. So the first thing we see a positive that ends in a negative. Okay? Because you wouldn't walk in the light. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old. 2 Chronicles 25:1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, the word perfect in the Bible has the meaning of being complete or being mature. What we see in him is a man that wanted to walk the right way, but the truth of the matter is, he is immature. He had an immature heart. He had an immature training. He had an immature in his Christian walk. And so, you know, we already see a problem, right? We see an immaturity. And so he just wasn't mature in his Christian walk. You got your Bible still open? Look at verse 3. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And so we see him giving away to the innocent and making sure that the innocent didn't suffer for the wrath of the guilty. And he did it right according to the writing of Moses. And so he didn't kill the children that had killed his father. He didn't kill them. He said they're innocent. They couldn't help what their father was doing. And he obeyed the law of Moses and did what was right. Look at verse number 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over 1,000, captains over hundreds, according to the house of their father, throughout all the Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. Look up here. The Bible says now he is making an infantry. And so we see him at first. He walks, but he's immature. We see him sparing the innocent, and we see him building an infantry to protect Israel. Seemed like he's going in the right way. Would you agree? Look at with me in verse number 6. He hired also, and here's where the problem, here's where the wheels come off. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And if you read that and you think, well, that's good, it's Israel. But the problem is they're out of Ephraim. And Ephraim is idolaters. And so he is included in his army. Now remember how many he have? He had 300,000 choice men. But he decided, listen, that's not enough. And so now he hires. Now notice the other ones weren't hired. The other ones were under his rule, under his kingdom. He called them to duty. If you will, they were drafted. They came to the battle. They came to be ready to fight. But now he goes out and he hires something to make the service bigger. Boy, that sounds familiar today, doesn't it? I tell you what, there's a lot of pressure today in the house of God to take and not be satisfied with the way things are and go out and hire somebody to make it bigger than it's supposed to be. Now stay right there with me. So he goes out and does that. He goes out and gets some hirelings, and he includes them in the service. Look at verse 7. We have an intervention. We have a holy conjunction. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. He said, don't go, but if you do go, you better get tight and ready to go, because I'm telling you right now, God's going to be against you, and you're going to die in the battlefield. Well, that's a good way to put it across, ain't it? Verse 9, Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He said, but you don't understand. I went and bought them. I hired them. I took 100 talents, and I give it to them. What am I supposed to do with that? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In other words, he said, you're going to have to write that off. You're just going to have to let it go. You went and spent money you shouldn't have spent, but God can supply the need and bring it back. He can give you much more than this if you'll be obedient. All right, here's your phrase. Look at verse 10. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. He separated that crowd. He said, hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to die on the battlefield. You fellas got to go home. Here's your money. Go to the house. Sends them home. And it makes them mad. They're all dressed up, 100,000 of them. All dressed up, ready to go for it. I bet they got all their, they got all the armor shined up. And here they got to go home. Not going to be used. And you don't understand how talented I am. I don't care if you're talented or not. God said you're an idolater. You're going home. So he sends them home. That makes them mad as fire. Look at verse number 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of salt and smote of the children 10,000. And another 10,000 left alive did the children of Israel, children of Judah, carry away captive and brought them to the top of a rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they all were broken in pieces. So 20,000 they defeated in battle and also off the cliff. So he separated himself and they have a success now. But look at verse number 13. I never saw this way before. You got your Bibles open? Y'all got your Bibles open? Look at verse 13. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even to Bethron, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. What they did, they didn't do it on the way home. He sent them home, and they got thinking about it. And they come back to Judah, and fought against them, and took spoil, and went back home. You know what they was doing? They was at home sulking, because they got sent home from the service. And it made them so mad, they decided they'd go attack the very one that fired them. They got hired and they got fired and it made them mad. And Natalie, you know what I thought about when I read that? I thought about what we said at the house. If you don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. And if you don't hire those that don't belong, you don't have to make them mad. Just don't ever bring them in. Here's the second point. You need to go home to light, and we need to go home, send those home that are idolaters. Because all they'll do is make us lose the battle. I'm saying this, church, listen. Tonight, if we wanted to tonight, we could hire great musicians to come to the house of God. We could. See it done for. Amen. And we hire all kind of people that are professional. And it's about everything. But the problem with that, Brother Freeman, they're not part of the house of God. They're just hired to do something at the house of God. And they have no clue what we're about. And the problem is, if we ever decide to go right, if we ever decide to go good and right, amen, I hope we're right, but if we ever decide to go good and right, they're going to get mad at us when we go good and right. Because we're going to have to let them go. And it's going to make them mad. Because they like that money. They like that prestige. They like playing that piano. They like leading singing. Are you listening? I like all those things, but the problem is, they're not of us. And they'll make us lose the battle. So we got to send those idolaters home. You ready? So here we have a negative that ends in a negative. Amen. He did it wrong. He got it right, but he still made them mad. Now, if I'm going to make you mad, I just want to make you mad at the beginning. Amen. Just, well, go ahead and preach it right at the beginning. Just let them know right at the beginning. We're going to go King James only. Just let them know at the beginning that we believe we ought to be separated unto God. Just let them know at the beginning that we ought believe we ought to be faithful to the house of God. They ought to be saved to be a member of the church. Amen. Does that make sense? We just want to go ahead and let that know at the beginning. Because if we don't, and we let them in, we're going to eventually want to be right. When we go right, it's going to make them mad anyway. So I just say let them know who we are at the beginning. Amen. Because God is able. God's able. Amen. Listen, I'd rather somebody be crooky voiced and be saved singing than the best singer in the world and ain't got a clue what they're singing about. Amen. I wish I could sing. Amen. I wish I could teach good. I wish I could preach good. But I believe it ought to be right on those things. So, number two, go ye home, idolaters. Now, here's the last one. Here's the last one. Look at Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And I'm going to get all in y'all Sunday school lesson. Y'all going to get all upset with me, but that's all right. There'll be more there. If they ain't enough in that well. Mark chapter number 5. There's enough in that well. Amen. Look with me. Can I just go ahead and take time to read a few of these verses? The Bible says, and they came over to the other side of the sea unto the country of the Gadarenes. Verse number 2. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. But that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into a sea. And they were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. See what it was that was done. And they came unto Jesus to see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And I never will get over these verses. And they were afraid. They weren't afraid when he's in the tomb screaming, hollering, carrying on, but they were afraid. People are always afraid when people get saved. So he's a crying out there in the tombs, and verse number 15 is a sitting at the feet of Jesus. Look at verse number 16. That's good. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerned the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed to him that he might be with him. So we see him in verse number 18. He's praying to the Lord. He says, "Lord, let me just go with you. Man, this country don't even want anything to do with me. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus." Amen. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. And he said, "Lord, let me just go on with you. I want to go home. I want to go on with you." How many of us have felt that way before? "Lord, just let me go on. This country's not my country. I don't feel at home." Amen. This does not feel like home. "And let me go on with you." The Bible says, you know what happens. "Howbeit Jesus," verse 19, "suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know, this one's where a negative turns into a positive. He says, "I want to go home with you." And Jesus said, "No, you're going to go home being an ambassador for me." And he said he spread it around the whole countryside because he went home the right way. How did he go home? He went home and identified himself, who he was. Here's what I want you to get out of this tonight. You can take a positive and end it in a negative if you're not willing to take good advice. That's what I'm saying. If you're not willing to take good, I'm not talking about, well, this is what we always known about. I'm talking about good scriptural advice. You can take a very positive thing and turn it into a negative because you end up walking in the darkness and not going home in the light. Okay? You can take a very negative thing and let it end up in a negative because you don't believe that God's able to do something positive. You know what I'm saying? You go out and you're negative. You don't know very much. But you say, "I got an enemy against me." So what you do, you start building. You say, "Well, we ain't got enough. Let's go hire somebody to fill in the blanks." And what you're doing is you're saying God's not able. So you can take a very negative thing and you can make it shipwreck and make it even more negative. Or you can take a very negative thing where you say, Lord, I want to go home. How many older people have I sat by their bedside and said, "I don't know why the Lord's leaving me here. I know why he's leaving here." Ain't one, two reasons you stay here. Either you're lost and God's long suffering ain't took you home yet, or you're saved and he's got you here for a testimony. So in that case, you can take a very negative situation and end up in a positive by going home and being an ambassador. You see what I'm saying? See, every one of these things, you can pick the way you're going to go. You can walk in the light. You can send home the adulterers. Come on. You can send home the adulterers. And you can go home and identify yourself who you are. You can be an ambassador for Christ. We all need to go home that way, don't we? We need to all go home in the light. Amen. If we're going to walk this world, we're going to have to walk through this life. We better walk in some light. Better not walk in opinions. Better not hope we can make it back to the house in time before the enemy shows up or darkness gets there. We better know so. We better not hire in those things that don't need to be in our lives. We don't need to bring those things in, Brother Freeman. We'd make a shipwreck. Listen, we could do things. There's things I know I could do in the ministry right now, and we could pack her out. I have enough singing and hot dog suppers, we'd have a packed out service by next Sunday. But the problem is I can't keep them that way. If I get people in by entertaining, I've got to entertain them all the time. Or sooner or later, I'm going to run out of entertainment. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to preach. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, sooner or later, I'm going to have to preach because the Bible says, the fire, just like Jeremiah, the fire of bones cannot stay. I might have to say something. Sooner or later, I might preach. What's that going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, I'm just going to make them mad, send them all home. The problem is they're going to rip out a lot of other people and take them with them. And some of you might be saying, well, I don't know why the Lord keeps me here. I don't know why I got to deal with certain things in life. Because he wants you to be an ambassador. If he wanted you home with him, he'd take you home with him. He's leaving you here for a reason. It's the only reason you're here. You say, preacher, you can't say that. Sure. His breath, our breath is in the palm of his hand. He must be giving it to us for some reason. And it's not to waste time. It's not to sit on the seat of do nothing with the rest of our lives. Are you listening? It's not to sit on the wayside and just wait for life to end. That's not God's purpose in our life. What a waste of breath it is to take God's gift of breath and not do anything with it. I'll ask you a question tonight, and I'm closing on this Wednesday night. What are you doing for him? What are you doing for him? Who are you praying for? Who are you calling up? Who are you witnessing to? Who you passed a track out lately to? What are you doing with your ambassadorship? Because he has left you here, and he has left me here, that I might identify who I am and what he's done. And we need to find the gumption. Well, that's an old country word. We need to have enough gumption in us to tell somebody what Jesus did for us. Somebody told me one time, preacher, I'd go out and knock on doors, but I'm scared. Oh, well, I am too. Well, I'd go out and knock on doors, but I'm afraid what somebody asked me. Well, I am too. But I'm never confused about what I ought to tell them. Here's what I ought to always tell somebody. I ought to always tell somebody when witnessing them. Brother Charles, always works. Always works. About 35 years ago on Wednesday night, I come to church lost as a goose. Religion, relationship, been baptized, no relationship, had religion, had ritualism, but never been saved. And I just tell them how I got saved. I said, isn't it amazing God saved me? You can always tell somebody. You say, I don't know what to say. Just tell them how you got saved. Then let God to start doing the rest of the work. You say, I don't know what to tell them. What did you know when you got saved? You knew I was lost. I heard there's a God of heaven sent his only begotten son. I heard that he came and lived a perfect life. I believed every bit of that, Brother Freeman, and I got saved. I believe he went to a cross and died for my sins. I believe on the third day he rose up victorious. I believe that he ascended to the Father. I believe he sits on the right hand of the Father at night to make intercession for our sins. I can tell anybody that. I ain't got to be brilliant to tell anybody about that. But shame on us if we're wasting our ambassadorship. Jesus told him, go home. Identify yourself. tell everybody what I've done for you. Boy, he didn't just go to the house. He spread it around the whole country. He just got a good case of King Halpin's. And that's what we need to do. We need to go home the right way. I'll ask you tonight, closing this message, going home, getting ready to go to the house, right? How you going to go home tonight? You going to go home in a negative? Or you going to go home in a positive? You going to go home having done what God wants you to do? Or you going to go home same way we come, same way we go, nothing different? How you going to go home tonight? It's important. Every breath we got is a gift. If it wasn't, if he was done, he'd take it just like that. Well, preacher, you're right. I don't understand, but he does. I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm done. I promise you I'm done. When he was on the cross, and he was nailed there, and he was bleeding, and he was dying, and he's suffering, do you think he felt good? Anybody think he felt good? Anybody think he had the ability to do anything physical? I mean, but he had to keep himself to the cross. You do understand that. He kept himself there. So physically, he couldn't go out and do anything, could he? Are you listening to me? I'm going to take every excuse away from him you ever had tonight. Amen? Do you think anybody had done him wrong? You think friends had let him down? Yeah. All of the above. But when that thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come to the kingdom. You know what Jesus had time to do? He had time to tell him everything's going to be all right. This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus on the cross with everything you could think about in pain, in suffering, in agony, in distress, having friends left him, having been beat upon, having been spit upon, everything, still had time to tell somebody that everything's going to be all right. He still had time to give them the gospel. You know what that does for us? It removes all our excuses. Amen. We need to go home the right way and be an ambassador. Let's all stand. Anybody, if you're saved, anybody can tell somebody about Jesus. Anybody. Madison, are you still saved? Are you glad you're saved? Have you had a good week? Amen. I've been praying for you. I mean, we've been excited about it. Every time I think about it, I smile. All week, just smile. And the old devil's going to fight, but God's faithful. And we're still praying about the other situation. You pray. Amen. That's between us. That ain't none of y'all's business. Amen. Pray for her. She give it to me straight. Amen. But listen, church, we need to ask God to help us to be faithful. And take good advice. Don't walk in the darkness. Go home in the light. Amen. Don't hire no hirelings. Amen. Don't bring things in your life that are not what God wants you to have. Does that make sense tonight? Is this too deep for Wednesday night? I think everybody's tired, wore out or something. I don't know. You need to get a hold of this thing and grasp it. Because it's important. It's important. Brother Freeman, if you'll dismiss us tonight.